right. It's March 10th, 2026. It's 5:31 p.m. and the Fairbanks Diversity Council regular meeting is called to order. Will you call the roll, please, Madam Clerk?
All right. Deidre Hamilton.
Here.
Herb Butler.
Here.
Karen Blackburn.
Here.
Mary Jo Skaggs. Here. Dorothy Shockley let me know she would not be present. Terry Norman. Juanita Webb. June Rogers.
Here.
Erica Dillard.
Here.
Mayor O'Neill.
Here.
Jake Merritt.
Here.
Lonnie Marnie.
I'm here.
All right. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
I was just getting to say Herb will do that, and he did.
Did you second? All right. Made by Mr. Butler and Ms. Rogers. Is there any objection? Seeing none, we have an agenda. Next is approval of meeting minutes from the regular meeting January 13th, 2026. Is there a motion?
Motion
by Ms. Dillard. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Ms. Blackburn. Thank you. Any discussion? Any objection to approving the minutes? All right, approval of minutes is adopted by the body. Citizens' comments, I don't see or have anybody signed up for citizens' comments. There doesn't appear to be anybody online either.
Nope.
So we'll move to the report from the chair. I first just wanted to apologize for not getting the report out with our regular packet from our strategy meeting. But hopefully it was you had last night to peruse through it, and hopefully, you know, this is what captures our steps. I thought I was really excited after we left the strategic planning session, and I'm looking forward to making a few tweaks to this committee so we can do more action and have a meaningful time together. Is there any questions for me? All right, we'll go to unfinished business, calendar events. This is just for informational purposes. Any discussion?
The TCC meeting is just, we finished our second of 4 days, and then Friday is the annual Doyon meeting. And then starting Wednesday, tomorrow, is a four-day all-native basketball tournament at Lathrop.
Oh, yeah.
It's men, women, and men huff and puff is what we call it, the older 35 and above, three different categories.
That's great. I got to do a tip-off the other day with the young kids to start their basketball tournament on Monday.
That one
it was
too,
really
yeah.
fun. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I digress. All right, moving on to item 9, recap of the February 21st strategic planning work session. I kind of already did that, but would offer the floor to anybody who had anything to add to what was written here or questions or wanted to just say anything about the day.
If I may, I thought the report was well done. Being a writer and such, I'm impressed with how it was all put together. Is this Word? Did you use Word?
Mm-hmm.
Huh, I didn't know you could do all this with Word. I'm impressed.
My college education paid off in some ways.
Getting our money's worth.
Yeah.
Or your money's worth.
Yeah.
But it said a lot, and I think it covered quite a bit of almost everything of what we did there. In a one sentence explanations, which is good. Thanks.
Thanks. How did everybody feel about the next steps section? We do have the item of the meeting schedule later on in our agenda, so we can come back to that. But does this sound like a good sort of path forward? Seeing nods. Ms. Rogers.
I could add something to this that I was going to bring up at the last meeting, and it passed me by when we had so much other discussion. But we usually have an Open Meetings Act period of questions and answers with our attorney this year. We haven't had one for quite some time, and I think that could be added in as one of our next steps here. There's a lot of persons who are new. And the Open Meetings Act is something that many times is misunderstood. And we need to know the ins and outs of it so that we operate appropriately. One of the other things that I had in mind is we talked a lot about our beginnings and Mayor Eberhardt and what his thoughts were for all this, but we haven't had the opportunity to talk with Mr. Eberhardt for many, many years now that he's living in Australia. But I see his mom at the post office all the time, so I keep tabs on him. But anyway, I think he would feel honored if we were to ask him to give us a commentary on what his thoughts were and why he started this, and so on and so forth, because we have a lot of questions about it, but the person who began all this hasn't been here to answer those questions. So it might be helpful. And I'm thinking that the other thing had to do with Herb. Herb has been referring many times at this past meeting and others that he was involved in very formal corporate style diversity programs. There's a lot of knowledge about this, but I was thinking that we could also invite persons from some of those types of organizations to come and speak to us too. Mm. I just think we need to bring new information in from other people rather than always trying to reinvent the wheel ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And her past, I think probably some good ideas about what to do.
That happened for us years ago with Williams in Tulsa at our diversity council meetings. We invited, I think it was Mobile Oil, person from there to explain how their diversity council looked in their plan. Williams is a nationwide pipeline moving a good list of liquid products and also gas products. And so their
the issues were brought up here and there, and local events come up as a surprise there. Corporate diversity council to hear about. So that's the reason the diversity council was formed after Tulsa or Williams formed a diversity department run by a senior manager.
Wow.
And they began to iron out these little local events and turn it into a company-wide responsibility to this thing. Three various regions throughout the nation. What to do about issues? All.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments on the strategic plan? We missed you, Mr. Marnie. We missed you as well, Deirdre. Yeah.
The report here.
Mm-hmm.
And Ms. Sherry heard a copy.
Oh yeah.
Australia.
Do you know how to contact? Do you have his email? Okay, sure. You know, we can also put this, I guess, is there a will to put this on the website? Is there any reason why we wouldn't want to?
Maybe our refined copy could go on the website after you work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Sounds good. Item B, designation of Fairbanks Diversity Chair. Ms. Blackburn has been serving as the chair in the mayor's stead. And Ms. Blackburn, if it's all right with you, I'm happy to take that chairmanship back. Are you sure? Because I mean, okay. and so is there any objection to that change? Is that a hand? You object? Okay, no. All right.
Yeah. I think that's what our written.
Do we have co-chairs, Ms. Madam
Vice Chair?
Oh, Vice Chair.
That
yeah.
Would act
Vice
in your absence.
Yes.
Are you open to that, Ms. Blackburn?
Yes, I'm open to that.
Okay. All right. Great. And then next is the review of the Fairbanks Diversity Council meeting schedule, format, and location. So from our strategic session, we identified that we are having a hard time making a quorum and suggested that we meet quarterly for a quorum. So that would be meetings where we take action on something. Whatever it is, we have a discussion, we take action. And then in the meantime, and what I would suggest is that we work towards one event in between each of those quarterly meetings where we either have a talking circle like we talked about, invite a guest speaker, have a community event that promotes diversity in the you know, off times where we have quarterly meetings. And then if folks aren't able to make that, it's not like we can't move the group forward. And then just, I think, allows folks to participate at a higher level when we meet quarterly. So I wanted to first throw that out, see if there were any strong feelings. Mr. Butler.
Of course. bullet point one.
Mm-hmm.
And next steps. I've thought this over and over after reading this last night or yesterday. And I really disagree with quarterly meetings. The way I feel about it is it'll give us as members an excuse to miss. I think we should maybe become more firm as far as attendance requirements on our monthly meetings. If that doesn't work, then maybe we can consider But I think we need to focus on the monthlies and see if we can iron it out.
Is there, what do you think that we do in a monthly meeting that wouldn't be able to be done in a quarterly meeting?
It would really require sort of a refinement or a change kind of in the agenda. Because every month we see a boilerplate agenda, sort mm-hmm. of. And it's really, it's a matter then of highlighting a given activity each month to work on. Instead of the boilerplate agenda.
That was another thing that we had a discussion about was, we could meet in here. There's not enough room to sit everybody around a table. We can move it to a different conference room where it's a little less formal. The Pledge of Allegiance isn't the approval of the agenda. You know, like this is a very, very formal setup of an agenda. And what I heard from the strategic planning was we are all okay with a little less formality mm-hmm. so we can be more comfortable talking about the things, the diversity things that we talk about.
I too am not in favor of quarterly meetings. I think you all know I've served on many, 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 many meetings for decades. And one of the first avenues of going off the cliff is those quarterly meetings, and people feel less connected, and then after a while, those things are dissolved and mm-hmm. gone. And I'm not going to go through the organizations where that's happened, but they are many. And I have been right there in the presence of all of it, saying that we need to meet more often. We need to better know each other. We need to better know how to work with each other, but we can't just come every few months and sit with a predetermined topic by someone who is many times even a brand new staff person who doesn't have the information in a way of not so much re-explaining, but creating that continuum, that railroad of action. I can think of one organization particularly where over and over and over and over after the quarterly meetings, there was like a good four or five staff people long gone because they didn't feel anything from the group. They didn't get nourished themselves as staff people. And they were young and hoping to make changes in the world and all of this. And gradually, those things just went away. So it's one of those things that I've always said, I think we need to, monthly is already a pretty long spurt in between seeing each other, I think.
Yeah, yes, please.
Being the newest member to the Diversity Council and having taken part of the strategic planning, when we're looking at a relaunch of, you know, the strategic planning, I echo what's been said, that I think with a quarterly meeting, you lose that momentum that it seemed like that was a priority to really re-engage not just the council, but community members. And if we're only meeting quarterly, we start to lose that. So why stop that train now?
Any other discussion? Okay. So, do we need a vote on this?
Well, if the intent is to change it, then we would need a motion and a vote. If
we're just talking about
intent to change it, then no. But if we're we're going to talk about format and location changes too, then I think there should be a motion.
Yeah. Okay. Should we do a motion with all of that? Schedule, format, and location?
This one.
Okay. So that would mean, so is there a motion to establish a meeting schedule of monthly informal format and a change of location to the Mike Meeks conference room? Is there a motion for that? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Butler. Is there a second? All right, thank you. Okay, now we can have discussion on any of that. So the meeting schedule, the informal format, and the change of location. Does anybody have anything to add? Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, it would be. That's a good point. There is some room to sit in those, in that conference room for the public. It's like maybe six seats.
I mean, if we start to grow the interest, we always change that. I just want to make sure there was at least some room.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if it needs to be. It just needs to be noticed. So if we think that we have a bigger meeting, then we can move it here. You know, like if we're going to have an event during a meeting, you know, we can move it here. But if we're going to do the court or the, you know, the smaller meetings, I think, you know, I'm just going to say, I think we could do monthly meetings still, but how would you all feel about just doing quarterly meetings for the quorum? Because we're not meeting the quorum. Nope. Tonight we should have quorum. We're taking votes.
And for the purpose, there's specific voting issues we need to work on that can be scheduled for the quarterly.
Yep. You can schedule them in between.
Yeah, in between, and that'll give.
Us members, an opportunity to think about that change in 3 months worth.
Yeah.
of thinking.
I don't know. It goes by pretty fast for me.
Yeah. I don't know. I hate to always be the curmudgeon, but I guess I know. So.
Well, I'm just posing a question.
I just have a real strong feeling that we all need to honor our commitment and that we need to have that conversation up front with folks that if they don't have the time to be here, that they're welcome to come to any meetings, but if they're going to serve in the capacity of creating policies and so on and so forth, that they need to make a commitment to be here. And I think if we give up on having a quorum, whole thing just kind of falls by the wayside. There's no sense of purpose. Hmm. It just because we're not honoring the commitment, we're not honoring the things that we say that are important and why we're doing this. We've had discussions over the years about folks who are not coming over a lengthy period of time. But I don't believe we've ever, maybe Danny, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe we've ever followed through with one of what our discussion items was, that we would contact the person and say that we need to ask for your resignation because you're not honoring our agreed upon meeting schedule. And I it doesn't have to be a bludgeoning of somebody or anything like that, but it, what we need to do, I think, is tell people enough about the importance of what we're doing so that when people aren't able to honor their monthly agreement, that they have the regard for this group of persons to actually themselves say, I need to take some time off here and resign, whether it be for a period of time and then they come back later or whatever. But I don't think it's wrong to contact someone who hasn't been to a meeting in 6 months and say, we have something in our plans here that allows for that, but we don't enforce it. And so when you don't enforce something, it creates that kind of laissez-faire attitude that we're having.
I agree with Joan. And having been a member of other committees and councils in my history, that was always brought up continually. As an example, I'm a member of the Community Advisory Council, and we just voted recently not to disband. And but in the past 3 years, we discussed a few times what to do about those members that never show up. And we still haven't arrived at a conclusion yet. And this is other committees I've been on. It's the same sort of an issue. So I think it's sort of the only term I can think of is, in my experience, is policy and procedure, is to lay down our rules and firm them up and let the members know, all of us members know, that they really have a responsibility to comply with those rules.
That's right. That is right there.
Yeah.
We have it.
Yeah. And
we've discussed it and we've made it part of our...
Yeah. And it's, I don't think it's no longer an excuse just to call up and say, I can't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a matter of the member talking directly with you then.
Mm-hmm.
The chair, why they can't make it.
Anybody else?
I can tell you this, personally, not to break my arm patting myself on the back, but I force the meeting to attend. And I'm always 15, 20, 30 minutes early on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That's Danny.
He beats me up here.
I come early so that I get gifts.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I'll give you kind of what I've been thinking. Quarterly meetings so we can make quorum, and I'm thinking about this in a framework and a lens of privilege. And as a diversity council, who is not sitting here that could be sitting here if we had a lower standard of participation? And that's for making decisions altogether. So, you know, if you're talking about, you know, somebody who is a single mother but really wants to participate, a monthly meeting every month really could be difficult for them to attend to. Somebody who travels a lot for their job. I think that by having, you know, a very strict, as you say, Herb, like when we have our meetings, we make quorum and we're in person, you know, maybe not even a Zoom option. Mm-hmm. So that's what, you know, that's when we get together. And then we strengthen the outcomes and the priorities of this group in the meantime by having those events in which we can connect and strengthen. So I don't see it as like just tapping in every quarter and then tapping out. I see it as a like tap in, do business a quarterly, but we don't really do a lot of business. And I don't know if we want to do a lot of business. We want to do a lot of events and things that are meaningful to us, that showcase the diversity of our community, or educate or train. And I think that, you know, when we frame it that way and we start, you know, having a schedule that's clear in that way, I think that starts to make a lot of sense and opens the door for other folks that may not, you know, be able or available monthly to attend, that do want to participate and do want to have a chance to be involved in local government. So that's where I'm coming from. I think you guys have great points, and you know, certainly we'll, there's a motion on the floor and we can vote on it. But I'd like, you know, I'd like to see us do more stuff,
you know,
than just sit here and talk about the stuff that we should be doing, which is my understanding has been what's been happening for years. And I see this as a way for us to do more stuff without, you know, a quarter or a monthly meeting and then doing more stuff. So that's my pitch.
I appreciate what you're saying, and I agree with a whole lot of that. And that's one of the reasons why I suggested that we get a hold of Mayor Eberhardt and have him speak to us about what his dreams were for this. Because we were gung-ho at the beginning 3 years, and then it just gradually has blown away. And I'm not going to offer any ideas as to my thoughts about why, but it is factual that it just gradually went away after he was gone. And so I think that he could probably give us a really good sharing of what his thoughts were about what we could accomplish. One of the things early on was that we were not necessarily as connected with our local police department as perhaps a lot of people felt was comfortable. And working with the hiring committee and working with their interviews and whatnot, people from this committee that I'm council, worked on that task force there to interview people. And several things like that, that brought us right into the workings of things that were making change, but within the context of the programs and the staff that the city was definitely responsible for. So I think for myself, I'd rather wait and hear from our very first leader, instigator, whatever you want to call him, as to what his thoughts were and perhaps some things that we've not even been noticed about for a long time, because it's been years and years and years.
And it brings up an important aspect of our council. Our council depends on the mayor. Mm-hmm. Mayor Eberhardt created the council. Yes, play an active role in creating the council. But then the next two mayors let it flop. Thankfully, we have you now as our chair. So maybe that is a topic or an issue that we can work on as members, on how to perpetuate this from mayor to mayor.
Mm-hmm. And I do think having events will, you know, once the community starts to expect that and we have a couple of successes under our belt, you know, now you have buy-in from the public that holds this group accountable and the mayor, whoever it is in the seat, accountable. When that event doesn't happen or they don't see a presence out in the community or, you know, something on the website or social media doesn't pop up, folks who are following that stuff, they'll speak up and they'll say, what's up, you know?
Okay.
So I do think that that's a way to you know, make this council sustainable in the long term, which I agree. Like, I think that's, I say that every day.
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah.
I agree with what you're saying about events. However, in my length of time, many times, I manned the tables myself because no one else signed up for those things. And so it really needs to have buy-in from everybody that we're, like at International Friendship Day, that we're actually going to be there and we're going to greet people and talk to them and that we're all going to be understanding about what it is that we're trying to do and be able to communicate that to people so that we're doing it that way rather than just passing out a flyer or something like that. And I think, Karen, you and I have talked about some things like this too, when you were many times the only person at a table and that sort of thing. And so I think that events are wonderful. They haven't been a salvation for us. We've had many people available for certain things, but not necessarily being there.
Mm-hmm. We can add that to the agenda, so we talk about events.
Mm-hmm.
We can have a quarterly outlook, so we know what's coming out, like what's being done in the community that we want to participate in. And then who do we want to bring into City Hall? You know, do we want to put on a training for the community? Do we want to hear from a particular group or person?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, so events can take a couple of different shapes. But
yeah.
If we're all sitting here, you know, every quarter and saying, all right, we have Friendship Day and we have this, you know, this type of Black History Month. What are the events that we really want to go to? All right. And then who's going to sign up and do that? And now we have accountability with each other, too.
I might offer this as an example, I guess. It's sort of an example. It came to my mind as I was telling everybody about our corporate diversity council with Williams Companies based out of Tulsa. After I came on board, when the senior executives of the company, there were six senior executives along with all the managers throughout the nation. And I was the only hourly paid employee. And I volunteered to join the council from Alaska because Williams had just invested into Alaska, buying their refinery and such, and working on a natural gas pipeline plan and all that. And so one of the senior executives asked me, so what's going on in Alaska? I went to the diversity department manager, and he laid out a plan for me, helped me work up a plan. So I came back to Alaska and looked it all over. I already have this deep set feeling about racism in Fairbanks and in Alaska, especially primarily because of the oil business. And I've told you all, like, forced ARCO to hire me, winning a racism discrimination suit against them, right? So I went to work on their refinery almost in secret, you might say. Well, I'm doing my own job. I wrote up a report, and the next meeting down in Tulsa, I arrived and made a verbal report to the council. Next thing you know, the diversity department showed up at the refinery and required every single supervisor from the frontline supervisor on up to the top executive to spend a whole day at the Native Center in Anchorage for a seminar, a one-day seminar. Did that change things? Well, it was a matter of seeing what would happen into the future, but then by then Williams had to sell the refinery. But that's how it worked. We were each one of the members of the diversity council there in Tulsa were given an assignment now and then. A manager from Louisiana coming up and saying, this is happening here. What do we do about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering, in our council, we all come from different parts of the community. So each one of us has an opportunity to bring in something that they see within their lives, our lives. You know, I've been doing that fairly regularly with the Native community. And even had a Native manager here recently, who's a relative of my wife. And so in the Native community now, FNA, TCC, and Doyon are well aware of the Diversity Council here in Fairbanks,
mm-hmm.
because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what we as members should do, is bring in our thoughts about what's happening within our own lives around us, what we're seeing.
Okay. So there's a motion on the floor. It's to, I know this gets a little funny sometimes, but it's to keep the meeting schedule as monthly with an informal format and moving the location to the Mike Meeks room.
To the what?
Mike Meeks room.
Oh, yeah.
Conference room. Any further discussion? So a yes vote keeps that, and a no vote would be in opposition of that. Okay. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll?
June Rogers.
Yes.
Mary Jo Skaggs. Karen Blackburn.
Yes.
Herb Butler.
Yes.
Deidre Hamilton.
Yes.
All right, it's unanimous. Great. Good discussion. Moving on to item 10, members' comments. Does anybody have comments this evening?
But if we have these meetings and we decide on that might be the best route, going to quarterly, that way we have more time for the more important things. Is that something that we vote? If we start to have, if it seems like we're just going and checking the boxes, because that's one of the things that's like, we come here, we check the boxes, we go home. It doesn't really feel like we're making a difference. But I hemmed and hawed over saying anything because I usually try not to say too much until after the meetings. but honestly, nobody really likes change. Change is a very hard thing to grasp at times, but we have a mayor who is involved. And if it's just a different way of looking at it, but still being very involved in the community, very beneficial. But we can see what happens with the meeting in a different room. Formal, but I do agree with the point made that other people who aren't able to parents, if, you know, if it's okay, I can't come to a meeting here, but I can do this activity. That way, there's still involvement. It's just not for the because we want. Be within meetings. So again, I hemmed and hawed about the quarterly thing, but that kind of setup gently for you guys have been here for a long time, and so you saw that there could be, but then it fizzled. Maybe she could be the new reigniting factor. So maybe doing a read of the two. With less formal meetings, I think that could be more beneficial. But I don't want it to be completely off the table. Not pulling out of the community, but there being more and there's not that much.
Ms. Blackburn?
No comments from me.
I totally just blanked on your last name. Skaggs, I'm sorry. Ms. Skaggs.
In the conversations tonight, I think the events, when we talk about events, I think those are, they are opportunities to for people to gather and to have spaces where conversations can be made, relationships can be built. And I did want to bring to the Diversity Council's attention that I have some news. The Filipino-American Society of Fairbanks that I'm president of was recently awarded the Alaska Community Foundation Social Justice Grant. So we just received the news, the award last week, and we are launching a new initiative here in Fairbanks. It is the Lifting Filipino Voices in Alaska and Strengthening Community Connections is the title of the program. And the main focus will be to lead a statewide convening of Filipino leaders and community members here in Fairbanks. It'll be hosted here October 2nd and have the support of the Mayor Hopkins and the borough who graciously donated the space for us to use with Pioneer Park for us to be able to host this event in conjunction with the Filipino Cultural Celebration, which will be the end of the separate from the convening, but ties in nicely. And over the past couple of years, within my term, I've certainly created lots of change myself, little ripples. And when I look at sustainability, you know, whether once we change leaders, once we change members, are the changes that we've made going to be sustainable? And so that really stuck with me, especially as we're about to do nominations and have a change of officers here next month, that we needed to make sure, I needed to make sure that the relationships that have already been built within Filipino organizations throughout the state continue to be built. And the only way to do that is to get them together. And so really excited about the event, just putting it on the Diversity Council's radar. I'm not looking for an endorsement, but I do think that the Diversity Council's role could be to provide some guidance, advice, resources, community partners that may be willing to collaborate, because part of it is also having some cross-cultural connections. So really excited to see how that can grow within Fairbanks. This is the first time we've had something like this, or the Filipino community anyways, and I really lean on getting inspiration from other organizations that have been successful at, you know, growing the connection between the communities statewide. So the start, awesome. And I'm excited to have that here in Fairbanks.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Mr. Marnie.
Excuse me, I got a frog in my voice. I think getting out and getting this commission name out into the community again is very vital. I was very disappointed that human library experiment didn't go through. It was just died. Juanita and I did a lot of work on that, and it was disappointing. So I think you guys are going into the right direction. Getting your name back out into the public and having events is going to be vital for this committee or council to continue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Marnie. Ms. Hamilton.
This has been a very informative meeting for me. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's good to see you, too.
And that's all I have to say.
Okay. Ms. Rogers.
Okay, thank you, everyone.
there's wonderful opportunities, especially so with your view and vision and the plans that you're making and the things that you've mentioned. Sorry, I'm just pointing to people at this point, but I think Danny knows where the proper name should be on that. And that's one of the reasons that keeps me situated here for as long as necessary, is that the idea of persons who have new ways of creating an understanding of concern for each other in our community that's going to work. And there's been several comments during our session that we had over there, and the comments that you made tonight, and I really thank you for them. And it is definitely a go for me. I'll be here for whatever events are necessary or needed. I mean, help needed for them, and so on and so forth. Sometimes I'm not good at being at a basketball game and running around and whatnot because I can barely walk. You know, but there's certain things that I can and will continue to be very involved with this group. I value the work of this group, even when we have reportedly gone backwards. I think everything takes its time, and we're so grateful that we have a leader who believes in what we're trying to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rogers. Mr. Butler.
Just what happened in this meeting is a good example of what lays ahead of us. Quite a few meetings in the past, there's really nothing happened. The boilerplate agenda, out the door we go. And here we've all had an opportunity to make comments. We're working over issues and topics and plans and on and on, and it's only been an hour. All of us, really. So I think we're doing good.
Thank you. Mary, anything?
Just happy to be here with you guys, like normal. I'm proud of everybody, so.
Thank you. Ms. Snyder, anything from you?
There were several references made this evening to the establishment of this council back in 2014 under Mayor Eberhardt's administration. To get a good grasp on his vision for this, I understand talking to him would be a great way to do that. But we can also just read the original ordinance that he wrote and codified back in 2014. That is super thorough. It goes into great detail about what his vision was for this body, about the membership makeup, which has been amended a few times since its inception. But in that ordinance is a call for quarterly meetings. Bodies can meet more than what the ordinance requires, which is what this body elected to do from the beginning. But it was established at a quarterly meeting intent. And so I just wanted to point that out because it was questioned about what was his intent in that regard, and it is in the original ordinance already. So I would encourage each of you to read that ordinance, and I think you might get a better feel of what the original intent was. I can send the original document your way and just note that it's been amended since its creation.
And we can add that to the agenda for next time, next month. And have a discussion about it, talk about it. Okay, well, thank you. Thanks, everyone, so much. It's good to see you. I was definitely energized by our time together on this Saturday, and I continue to look forward to the work we're going to do together. Thank you. We're adjourned at 6:26.